Welcome to another deep dive. Today, we're going to be looking at this paper that dives into the fascinating world of interfaces and, you know, sometimes unexpected behavior in materials.
Absolutely.
And this is a 1987 paper by Mehran Kardar, and it really changed how people thought about the role of randomness in these systems.
It really is a groundbreaking paper.
Yeah.
You know, we usually think of randomness as just kind of creating disorder.
Right.
But what Kardar showed is that it can actually lead to some very specific and unexpected behaviors.
Yeah, that's what I found so intriguing about it. So let's start with some basics.
Sure.
The paper uses this thing called the Ising model to study these interfaces. Could you give us like a quick rundown of what that is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So the Ising model is kind of a simplified way to think about magnets.
Okay.
So imagine like a grid where each square can be either, you know, spin up or spin down.
Okay.
Like tiny little magnets pointing in opposite directions.
Got it.
And the interface is like the boundary between these up and down regions.
Okay.
So you can picture it as like a jagged line kind of separating.
I can picture that.
Two territories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So where does the randomness come in?
Right. So that's where the random bond part of the model comes in.
Okay.
So in real material, the connections between these spins aren't all equally strong. You know, some bonds might be stronger, others weaker.
Sure.
So we introduce this element of disorder by basically making some of the connections between those squares stronger or weaker at random.
So it's like our jagged line, our interface is trying to navigate a landscape where some steps are easier to take than others.
Exactly. Now, you might think that a wandering interface in this random landscape would just kind of encounter an average mix of strong and weak bonds.
Right, right.
Leading to, you know, pretty typical fluctuations.
That's what I would have guessed. Yeah. It would all just average out.
Yeah, but that's not what happens. This is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
So Kardar found that the interface fluctuations actually grow with a very specific power law. So they increase with temperature raised to the 23 power.
Wow. Okay.
Which is not what you'd expect from simple randomness.
Yeah, that's a really specific result.
It is.
So what's going on there? Why that particular power law?
That's the key insight from the paper.
Okay.
The interface isn't just passively wandering around. It's actually strategically seeking out those weaker bonds to minimize its energy.
Okay.
Even if it means like wiggling around a bit more.
Oh, so the interface is actually being quite clever.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see why this paper was such a big deal. It's like it gave the interface a personality.
Right.
It's actively making decisions based on this random landscape.
That's a great way to think about it.
Yeah.
And this behavior actually hints at a deeper principle at play here.
Okay.
Called universality classes in critical phenomena.
Okay.
Basically, systems that might seem very different at a microscopic level can exhibit the same large-scale behavior near critical points as long as they share certain symmetries and dimensionality.
Interesting.
And this particular power law is like a signature of a specific universality class, suggesting that this interface behavior might be relevant to other seemingly unrelated systems.
That's fascinating. So even though we're talking about a simplified model of an interface, the findings could have implications for all sorts of complex systems.
Exactly.
Okay, well, let's unpack another surprising result from the paper.
Sure.
I'm really curious about this depinning transition you mentioned earlier. It sounds counterintuitive.
Right. So imagine the interface is stuck to a surface.
Okay.
Like a droplet clinging to a wall.
I got it.
Now, normally you'd think that increasing the temperature would make it more likely to detach.
Right. More heat, more energy, easier to break free.
Exactly.
Mangus.
So here's the twist. Increasing the randomness.
Uh-oh.
Those bond variations can actually cause the interface to unstick.
Wait, so more randomness actually sets the interface free?
It does.
That's wild. Yeah. Can you explain how that works? I'm struggling to wrap my head around it.
Yeah, it's all about the interface's ability to kind of explore its surroundings.
Okay.
So as the randomness increases, the interface is more likely to find a path with enough weakly bonded regions that allow it to kind of break free from the surface.
Okay.
So the disorder essentially tips the scales in favor of freedom.
Interesting.
By providing more opportunities to escape.
So instead of just jiggling around in place,
right.
the interface is actually using the randomness to its advantage to find an escape route.
Yep.
It's like it's playing a game of chance, and the more randomness there is,
yeah.
the better its odds of winning.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And it highlights a key concept that emerges from Kardar's work.
Okay.
This interplay between energy minimization
right.
and entropy maximization. So the interface wants to be in a low energy state
uh-huh.
by sticking to the surface.
Sure.
But it also wants to explore more configurations.
Right.
Which is favored by randomness.
Okay.
And in this case, the entropy.
Mm-hmm.
The drive for more options.
Yeah.
Wins out.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
So randomness can not only change how an interface fluctuates,
right.
but can also determine whether it's bound or free.
Yeah.
It's like those random bond variations are giving the interface a bit of an adventurous spirit.
I like that.
This is definitely making me think about things in a new light.
That's what's so powerful about this kind of research.
Yeah.
It challenges our assumptions about how systems behave.
Right.
But we've only just scratched the surface.
Oh.
There's another layer to this story.
Okay.
This thing called the commensurate-incommensurate transition.
Oh, boy. Things are about to get even more complex, aren't they?
Hang on tight.
All right.
This is where we'll see what happens when we introduce not just one interface, but a whole group of them.
I'm all ears.
All right.
Let's dive in.
Let's do it.
Okay. So we've seen how a single interface kind of, you know,
right.
behaves in this random landscape.
Mm-hmm.
But now let's like zoom out a little bit and yeah. see what happens when we have like yeah. multiple interfaces mm-hmm. interacting with each other.
Right.
And this brings us to this thing called the commensurate-incommensurate transition.
Yeah.
Or CIT for short.
Okay. Yeah. So picture like a bunch of those droplets we talked about earlier.
Okay.
All clinging to a surface.
Yeah.
They want to spread out.
Right.
But they can't cross each other.
It's like a crowded dance floor where everyone's trying to find space to move.
Exactly.
What happens to these interfaces as they get closer and closer together?
So think about the average space between these interfaces.
Okay.
We call that the domain size.
Got it.
In a system without randomness.
Okay.
This domain size would grow in a very predictable way
mm-hmm.
as you approach the CIT.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine like lanes on a highway widening predictably as traffic increases.
But we know from Kardar's work that right. randomness likes to shake things up a bit.
Exactly.
So what happens in this case?
It's like those highway lanes getting disrupted by road construction.
Oh.
Or sudden slowdowns.
Good.
So the interfaces can't move as freely.
Right.
And the domain size doesn't grow as smoothly.
So the randomness is messing with that neat and tidy scaling.
It is.
How did Kardar even begin to tackle this problem? It seems incredibly complex.
Yeah, it is complex.
Yeah.
He used a really clever technique called the replica method.
Okay.
Essentially, it involves making multiple copies of the system.
Oh.
Each with its own set of interfaces.
Right.
And then letting them interact.
So it's like we're observing how those cars in our highway analogy
yeah.
behave not only in their own lane,
mm-hmm.
but also how they're affected by traffic in other lanes.
Exactly.
Okay.
By analyzing these interactions between the replicas.
Right.
Kardar could figure out how randomness changes the scaling
okay.
of the domain size.
Got it.
And what he found was quite remarkable.
What did he discover?
He found that instead of the domain size growing with a power law of 1/2,
okay.
like it does in a system without randomness,
mm-hmm.
it grows with a power law of 1 in the presence of randomness.
Wait, so the randomness is actually slowing down the growth of those domains?
It is.
That seems totally counterintuitive.
It is surprising.
I would have thought more randomness would lead to faster, more chaotic growth.
Yeah, it's one of those things that highlights how randomness can have really unexpected consequences
right,
on these systems.
Those road closures in our highway analogy are really cramping the interface's style.
They are.
So not only can randomness determine if an interface is bound or free,
mm-hmm.
but it can also influence how a group of interfaces arranges itself.
Yeah.
It's almost like the randomness is introducing a new set of rules to the game.
That's a great way to put it. But Kardar's findings go beyond just the average behavior of these interfaces.
Okay.
He also investigated the fluctuations around that average.
What do you mean by fluctuations?
Well, instead of just looking at the overall trend.
Right.
Kardar dug into how much the free energy of the system
okay.
can vary due to those random impurities.
So it's not just about the average domain size, but also about how much those domain sizes can deviate from the average.
Exactly.
Sort of like how much the traffic flow in our highway analogy can vary from hour to hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And what he found is that the fluctuations in free energy also behave in a very particular way. They have their own scaling laws, different from the scaling of the average free energy.
So the randomness is affecting not only the overall behavior, but also the variability around that behavior.
Right.
That makes me think about how in systems like financial markets, randomness can lead to both overall trends and those sudden, unpredictable spikes and dips.
You're connecting the dots perfectly.
That's what's so exciting about this kind of research.
Right.
It can have implications far beyond the specific systems being studied.
Exactly.
The insights we glean from these interfaces could potentially help us understand the behavior of complex systems in a whole range of fields.
Absolutely.
This is blowing my mind.
Yeah.
But I have to ask, how did CARDAR even manage to calculate all of this? Dealing with one interface is tricky enough.
Right.
But with multiple interacting interfaces and all this randomness, it seems impossibly complex.
It is complex. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But CARDAR's brilliance lies in his ability to combine different theoretical tools to tackle this complexity. We've already talked about the replica method, which helps us handle the randomness.
Yeah.
But he also used a really powerful technique called the Duveth Ansatz.
I remember you mentioning that earlier. Honestly, it sounds a bit intimidating.
It is a bit technical, I'll admit.
Yeah.
But the basic idea is that it allows us to solve for the energy levels of a quantum mechanical system.
Okay.
And what's remarkable is that we can map the problem of these interacting interfaces onto a quantum mechanical problem.
Wait, hold on. How can we connect something as tangible as these interfaces to the abstract world of quantum mechanics?
It's all about finding those hidden connections between seemingly disparate fields.
Okay.
So in this case, the interfaces become like particles moving in one dimension.
Okay.
And the interactions between them become like forces between these particles.
Right.
The randomness in the bonds translates into a kind of potential energy landscape that these particles have to navigate.
So we're essentially treating these interfaces as if they were tiny quantum particles navigating a random obstacle course.
That's a great visualization.
Yeah.
And by applying the Bethia ansatz to this quantum system, CARDAR could calculate something called the ground state energy.
And how does that ground state energy relate back to our interfaces?
So the ground state energy of the quantum system corresponds to the free energy of the interfaces.
Got it.
So by figuring out how this ground state energy changes as we tweak things like temperature or the amount of randomness, we can glean insights into the behavior of the interfaces.
It's like using a secret decoder ring to translate between the language of quantum mechanics and the language of interfaces.
That's a great way to think about it.
Okay.
But are there any limitations to this method?
Right.
Does it always work perfectly?
Of course. No model is perfect.
Right. Yeah. One key assumption in CARDAR's work is that the interfaces are non-crossing.
Okay.
In reality, there might be situations where interfaces can cross or merge, like those highway lanes with exits and merging lanes.
Right. Makes sense.
And in those cases, the scaling laws might be different.
There are always going to be exceptions and nuances in real-world systems.
Exactly. Also, CARDAR's model assumes that the randomness is quenched, meaning it's fixed and doesn't change over time.
Right.
But in some cases, the randomness itself might be dynamic.
So what if the positions of those impurities are constantly shifting?
Exactly.
That would be like our highway constantly rerouting traffic.
Precisely.
Okay.
In those cases, we'd need to go beyond CARDAR's model.
Right.
And consider more complex theoretical frameworks.
Sure.
But even with these limitations,
CARDAR's
work has opened up a whole new way of thinking about interfaces and randomness.
Okay.
Paving the way for further exploration in this fascinating field.
Well, my mind is officially blown. I'm ready to dive into the last part of this deep dive and see what other insights CARDAR uncovered.
Let's do it.
Okay, so we've talked about how randomness, you know, kind of changes the game for interfaces, you know, from how they fluctuate to how they detach from surfaces and even how they interact with each other. But I'm still a little bit fuzzy on like the, you know, nitty gritty details of how CARDAR actually calculated all of this. You mentioned this Bethia ansatz thing, which honestly sounded pretty intense.
It is a powerful tool.
Yeah.
But the core idea is surprisingly elegant.
Okay.
So you remember how we talked about mapping the problem
right.
of interacting interfaces onto a quantum mechanical problem?
Yeah, we're picturing those interfaces as like particles moving around in right. a random energy landscape.
Right now, imagine those particles are governed by the laws of quantum mechanics.
Okay.
The Bethe-Ansatz is a method for finding the exact solutions to certain quantum systems.
Okay.
And by applying it to our interface problem.
Right.
Kardar could calculate something called the ground state energy.
Ground state energy? That sounds pretty fundamental.
It is. It's the lowest possible energy state
okay.
of a system. So think of it as like the most stable configuration
right.
those interfaces can achieve.
Okay. And how does that connect back to like the behavior we've been discussing?
So the beauty is that the ground state energy of this quantum system corresponds to the free energy of the interfaces.
Okay.
And as we've seen,
yeah.
free energy plays a huge role
right.
in how those interfaces behave, whether they're fluctuating, detaching,
okay.
or interacting with each other.
So by understanding the ground state energy,
right.
we can like unlock the secrets of yeah. these interfaces. It's like finding the Rosetta Stone for this whole random world.
Exactly. And what's even more remarkable is that Kardar didn't just get like qualitative insights.
Okay.
He derived exact mathematical formulas
wow.
for the scaling laws that govern the domain size.
Okay.
And the fluctuations in free energy.
So we're not just talking about vague trends here.
Wow.
We're talking about precise predictions
right.
about how these systems behave.
That's right. And these predictions have been confirmed
mm-hmm.
by countless experiments and simulations. Since then.
Okay.
Cementing Kardar's work as like a cornerstone
right.
of our understanding of interfaces in random media.
It's amazing how a single paper can have
yeah.
such a profound
it really is.
And lasting impact.
Mm-hmm.
But let's zoom out for a moment here.
Okay.
Why should we care
mm-hmm.
about these interfaces and their sometimes, you know, quirky behavior?
Right.
Is this just a theoretical curiosity? Or are there like broader implications?
This goes way beyond yeah. just interfaces and materials.
Right.
The insights from Kardar's work have implications
okay.
for a huge range of complex systems.
Like what?
From biological membranes
Fire.
To financial markets,
mm-hmm.
even things like the spread of wildfires.
Wildfires?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the formation of galaxies.
Hold on. How can something like a fluctuating interface
mm-hmm.
tell us about things like
right.
stock prices
mm-hmm.
or the way a fire spreads?
Think about it. In all these systems, you have some kind of boundary or front
right.
that's moving through a complex and often random environment.
Uh-huh.
So the stock market has prices fluctuating over time.
Okay.
Wildfires have a burning edge
right.
advancing through a landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And galaxies have edges expanding into the cosmos.
So the underlying mathematical principles might be similar.
Exactly.
Even though the specific systems are totally different.
That's the key insight here.
Yeah.
By studying these seemingly abstract interfaces,
yes.
we can actually gain a deeper understanding
okay.
of the complex world around us.
That's a pretty powerful idea.
It is.
It's like we're finding these hidden connections
mm-hmm.
that link seemingly unrelated phenomena.
And that's what makes this kind of research so exciting.
Yeah.
It's about uncovering those universal principles
right.
that govern the behavior of complex systems. Regardless of their specific details.
Well, I think we've reached peak mind expansion.
It's been a good one.
For today. This deep dive has given me a whole new perspective on the role of randomness in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about chaos.
Right.
It's about unexpected order,
mm-hmm.
surprising connections,
yeah.
and the power of clever theoretical tools to help us make sense of it all.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
On this deep dive. Until next time.
See ya.